But the name that is most used for God is Father. The Father. In Hebrew, it's the word Abba. And of course, in Greek, Abba, Father. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, Matthew 6:9. Jesus often referred to God as my Father. My Father, John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of the Father, Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Well, now think with me. Have you ever wondered, why do we call God Father? 15 times in the Old Testament, he's called Father, sometimes by his own mouth. 165 times in the Gospels, mostly by Jesus, not always, but mostly by Jesus. And 146 times in the rest of the New Testament, God is called Father, the Father. So think of it. How is God a Father? Jesus said in John 4:24, God is spirit. Jesus said in Luke 24, speaking of a spirit, that a spirit does not have flesh and bones. God the Father does not have a body. He has no flesh and bones. Technically, biblically, God is not the Father. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That blessed mystery of the sacred Trinity. But what we call the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, we call him Father. But why? How is he a Father? You ever thought that through? You'd take it for granted? Now, Jesus said God the Father is spirit. He has no body. He's not a biological sexual being like the Mormons teach. We just met with Mormons last week, Mike and I. The Mormons believe that God, our God, is a man from another planet who became a good person, married a woman, they ascended to heaven. He and that woman had relations, they had kids, Jesus and Satan, and the whole thing goes on. God does not reproduce. God is not, does not have a body. He's beyond all this. God is not a man. Neither is he a woman. He transcends all that. He's spirit. Technically, God has no gender. He's beyond all that. Now, many assume that God has been given the title Father by us. We saw our fathers on earth and said, well, that's what God is sort of like. So we call him Father because we know what fathers are down here. So we'll describe that to him as well. Many think that because he's sort of like an earthly father. It's our way of describing him based on what we experience. As you know today, many are seeking to change that. I won't spend a lot of time on this. I read too much this week on this idea. Modern feminist theology has worked hard to remove any reference to God being masculine or male. They don't like that idea. Some suggest that we should call God Mother. Or she or her. God can be female. The Mother God, the Goddess. And that we need today to revise our view of God based on our modern understanding of things. You know, I have a children's Bible video at home where every time God speaks, it's a male and female voice together. That kind of idea. Today there are gender-neutral Bibles where they take out all references to he and she, to not offend anyone. There's also a famous Bible today where God is called Mother, where God is called the Goddess, she. By the way, I read this week of a debate between a feminist theologian and a Bible translator. She was complaining about, why must we translate God to be he? He said, okay, tell you what, how about Satan? How would you like this? Resist the devil and she will flee from you. Didn't like that too much. And of course, they'll cite all kinds of reasons why God can also be called Mother. There's some verses. And sadly, as you know, for many on earth, father is not a good thing. Not everyone had a good father. And some, when they think of father, think of abuse, cruelty, hatred, physical abuse. And when they think of God being father, it's like, no, can't go there. And I get that. I really do. They think it's wrong to associate God with maleness or masculinity or, as they say, testosterone-driven aggression. They say that language is outdated. It's been discredited from an old patriarchal society that no longer exists. We know better today. Of course, they'll cite verses. I have several of them on your sheet where God is described in motherly terms. Deuteronomy 32, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion for the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Jesus said in Matthew 23, how often I would have gathered your children as a hen gathers her brood. In case you don't know, hens are female. And they'll cite those in many other verses. See, that God also has a mother's side. And they'll correctly point to creation. In Genesis 1:27, where God's image is male and female. It says there, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. And the good news is, both men and women both bear the image of God. Women, you are in no way inferior to us in creation as far as bearing God's image. You bear it as well as men do. They're right. And so they assume what I said earlier, that we gave God this title of Father based on what we experience here on earth. We call him Father because we have earthly fathers. That statement is precisely exactly backwards. It's the opposite. It reflects the idea today that Father and Son are merely human ideas that we've put on to God. Something we made up. Therefore, we can change it. But that's not true. Number three in your sheet there. We call God the Father because that's how he's chose to reveal himself to us. I think that went through. Every time God is mentioned in Scripture, masculine pronouns are used. There are no exceptions. Every time it's he, it's him, it's his, it's Father. Creator is in the masculine gender. He refers to himself as Father. He calls himself Father. 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. Psalm 2:7, I will declare the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Jeremiah 31:9, they will come weeping, but I will bring them back. I will bring them back with consolation. I will lead them in wadis filled with water by a smooth way where they will not stumble. For I am Israel's father. God calls himself Father. The prophets through the Holy Spirit refer to him as Father, as he. As his. God is never called mother in Scripture. God is never referred to as she or her. Always and only. Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was incarnated as a man. We know that. Not a woman, he was a man. He's always called the Son, he, him. There's no exceptions. Jesus' most used term for God was what? My Father. My Father. That's what Jesus called him. The Holy Spirit is always and only referred to as a him, a he. Never an it, never a she. It's always he. I have a verse here for you, John 15:26. Jesus said, when the counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he. The Bible, there's no exceptions to this. So even though God transcends gender, God is not a man. He chooses to reveal himself as masculine in male terms. As Father. And of course, that settles the matter. Jesus came to earth to reveal God the Father to us. John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, the one who was at the Father's side, he has revealed him. Revealed there is the word exegete. Jesus came down here to explain to us, to unpack who God is. And Jesus called him Father. Him. He. That settles it. However well-intentioned these theological feminists may be, they do not have the right to alter God's word. They just don't. We have no scriptural warrant to call God mother. Now that in no way denigrates womanhood or motherhood or femininity. The Bible is the best thing that ever happened to women. It sets them free. It raises them. It elevates them to the status God desired them to have. So let's consider the implications of this. God, the eternal Father, the eternal Spirit, calls himself Father. He revealed himself as Father. We didn't make that up. He told us he's a Father. Isaiah 9:6 is called the Eternal Father. What does that mean? The Father forever. This is why I said that false teaching that says that we put the title on him is exactly backwards. Fatherhood is his idea. We have fathers now on earth. Because God the Father created the family, he invented fatherhood. Let me say that again. The reason we have fathers is because God, who describes himself as father, created them. He set up the family the way it's supposed to work. He invented fatherhood, just like marriage. We're told by Paul in Ephesians 5 how marriage is given by God. God created marriage, a husband and wife, together for life. He designed that to be a picture of a heavenly reality, how much God loves his people, how much Christ loves his church. Well, everything God made is designed to do that. Do you realize that? I'm sure you do. Romans 1:19. Paul here is talking about how everybody in the world has no excuse for being an atheist. Everyone knows God exists. Why? He says, since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen since the creation of the world. Notice, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. No one has any sense to say, I don't think there is a God. Look at a tree. Where do you think that came from? Who else could do things like that? Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. Everything God has made is designed to raise this question. What must he be like who does things like this? And everything. You look at the stars and the power of the sky. I was doing that last night through the clouds. You ever pick up, I know you did, a young baby or a young child? Don't you marvel at the beauty of this? At the wonder of this? Doesn't that call your mind to God? Or it should anyway. Everything God has made, from flowers to trees to animals to outer space to earthquakes to volcanoes, all of that is meant to call your mind to say, what must he be like who brought this to pass? Well, the same is true about fatherhood. God created fatherhood. If you're a father here today, it's because God set up the institution of fatherhood. God decided he'd create man and woman in his image. Biologically, they'd have children, and that man would be called father, like God is called father. In other words, because God describes himself as father, he created an institution on earth that should picture what he's like. Should remind us, in a small way, of course, in a human way, of all that God is. God created the institution to reflect him. Now think about this. Think for a minute of a good father. I don't know how many of you had real good father. I know some of you did, some of you didn't. Think of a good father, a godly man who loves his children, who provides for them, who nurtures them, who cares for them, who cherishes them, who protects them. He even teaches them, he even admonishes them. A good father. If you didn't have one of those, you know someone who did. Think of that beautiful picture. And then remember, that exists because that's what God is like. That's a small human picture of what God, just like marriage is meant to be a human picture of what God's love is like. That's what fatherhood is. And think of it, fathers. God has put a special inborn spiritual bond between you and your children, hasn't he? Dads, think of your kids. You don't love them because you have to, do you? You didn't raise them and feed them and go to work for them and care for them because you had to. You wanted to, didn't you? You loved them. You love your kids. Fathers have this, I love to see this in action, this inborn, natural love you have for your kids. It's more than just duty. You can't help but love them. Isn't that true? Why is that? Because God put that there. That's what fatherhood created by God is. I know there's bad fathers. I know there's fathers who don't love their kids. But I'm saying the ideal here, a good father. Is there anything, Father, you wouldn't do for your children? Pretty much, right? Doesn't your innermost being boil when you think they're in danger or they're about to be injured or they're going the wrong way? Doesn't your heart just boil within you, fathers? Doesn't it? Are there any steps you wouldn't take to keep them safe? Is there? Wouldn't you be willing to die for your children? Why is that? Because all of that inborn natural love for your children, fatherhood as it comes, good fatherhood is a reflection of the Father. God reveals himself as the Father. You feel that way. You have that born into you because God, who created fatherhood, is just like that. It reflects him. God is revealing himself to us in terms we can understand. Just like marriage pictures God's great love, fatherhood pictures God's great character. course, the same is true in reverse. And I love this. In a good, godly, loving home, I love to see how children adore their daddy. You've seen that. Children just love their daddy. And they should. Daddy's strong. Daddy's fun. Daddy's good. Daddy's kind. Daddy feeds us. Daddy takes us for ice cream. Daddy loves us. Daddy plays with us. Daddy wrestles with us. And kids naturally, if he's a good father, love their daddy. That's all picturing the true father. It's all an image God created on earth. Children are born with an inward desire to what? Sons want to be like their father, don't they? Children learn from their father. Children, if a good father, children should adore their father. I've seen families like that and I marvel. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Just a beautiful thing. Someone has said each Christian man, when he gets saved, learns what it means to have a heavenly father. But it's not until that Christian man has children that he truly learns what it means to be a heavenly father. Now the love he has, the inward tug he has, the desire that he would lay down his life for that child, now he learns what a heavenly father is in a deeper way, a much deeper way, what father really means. Now, there's a lot we can say about this topic, but I want to keep this kind of short today for Father's Day. Let's just talk about what this tells us about our Heavenly Father. What are we learning from this? There's a lot you can say. God the Father is the eternal Father. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son. God didn't birth Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is eternal. But forever he's been the Father. Forever Christ has been the Son. It's this relationship. God the Father, God the Son are equal in every way. But they share these roles of Father, Son. And God the Father is revealed to us in terms of fatherhood. There's an old religious teaching, goes way back, that speaks of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man. There's some truth in that, and there's a whole lot of error in that. There's a sense where God can be considered the father of everyone. There's a sense, because he created everyone. Isaiah 64:8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." That's true of everyone. Every human being, every son and daughter of Adam was created by God the Father. He owns them. He designed them. He planned them. They're his in every sense of the word. God is also the provider and sustainer of everyone. My neighbors this morning are getting the same sunshine I'm getting. They have food on their table. They have gas in their tanks. That blessing that I thank God for, they don't thank God for, but they have it anyway. Jesus told us, God gives the sunrise on the just and the unjust. Luke 24 said, God is grateful to unkind and evil men. God is gracious to the unsaved. Psalm 104:14, you cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate. You may bring forth food from the earth. Everyone eats at God's table. Even his enemies, even the atheists, even the Muslims, they eat at God's table. And as such, every human owes his life. They owe all their gratitude. They owe all their obedience. They owe all their worship to God. In that sense, you could say he's the father of all. In that sense only. But as we know, the human race has fallen into sin. We've rebelled against God and we've fallen. Ephesians 2:3 says, among whom we also all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Mankind cannot be described as being children of God. By nature, mankind are children of wrath. In fact, Jesus actually told the Pharisees emphatically, God is not your father. It's on your sheet, John 8. He says, you are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. He tells the Pharisees, the religious elite, God is not your Father. Satan is. Think about that. That's an awful thing. God is not their Father. To the lost, to the unsaved, they cannot call God Father. He's not their father. Satan is. Wickedness is. Jesus said that. The sad truth is, for those outside of Christ, God's not their father. He's their judge. He's still their creator. They owe him, but he's not their father. But when one becomes a Christian, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be the payment for your sin, you call out to Him, you long for Him to be your Savior, your substitute, your Messiah, your Lord. The Bible says very clearly something absolutely astounding happens. Now again, we're so used to talking about us being sons and daughters of God. We get used to the term. It doesn't mean much to us. I ask you again to think this through. Think this through. 2 Corinthians 6:18, God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That verse alone ought to astound us every time we hear it. And again, call up in your mind who God is, what He is. Yet God says to us, because of Christ, you are now my son. You are now my daughter. And God doesn't throw words around lightly. You are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. What must that imply? Romans 8:14, Paul says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Romans 9:26, and in every place where it has said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called sons of the living God. You are sons, you are daughters of the living God. And again, call back to mind whatever you can about what a good earthly father is. A good one. The ideal earthly father. There are some around. What kind of father do you think God is? Think of it. Through the death of Christ, we're given the right, we're given the power to actually become God's actual children. I can stand here as a Christian and say to myself, God is my father. I can call Him my Father, Abba, Daddy. I can confess to you, I didn't have a great father. He's gone now. We won't talk much about that. But I have a Heavenly Father who blows your mind. I can say I have a Father who is God. John 1:12-13 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's a miracle of God. He takes a hell-bent son and daughter of Satan, a child of wrath, and through the blood of Christ, the atonement Christ made, He adopts you. He pulls you out of Satan's household and brings you into His own. And you now are literally, right now, a son of God. R.C. Sproul said, Jesus gave us the incomparable privilege of calling God Father. If we could just call Him God in a favorable sense, that'd be wonderful. If we could just call Him Lord and Master and then bow our heads and stay far away, that'd be wonderful. We have the privilege of calling God Abba, Father, knowing that a father loves his children. A father cherishes his children. A father's heart yearns for his children, does it not? You fathers know what that means. You got that from God. If we're children of God, that's how He now feels toward us. Now, please stop and think a minute. This is one of those truths that we hear so much. I think it often loses its meaning. Yeah, I'm a child of God. I get that, sure. Think this through. If you were a Christian, God Almighty right now is your Father in every sense of the word. That song you sang, El Shaddai, God Almighty, Creator, God Most High, that being who's the most impressive being there is my daddy. Can you say that? That feels so good to say that, doesn't it? I know we can't fully enter into that. We can imagine what a human father is like. I imagine having a wonderful human father as a glorious, great, wonderful thing. Praise God if you had one. But imagine what the Father, from whom all these fathers come from, must be like. Think of it. And God Himself calls Him that. This is astounding. The best father there is now your father if you're in Christ. Just as Jesus was the eternal Son, eternally begotten, He's a full Son of God. We are adopted sons of God. That makes us with Jesus what? Brothers. The Bible says we're joint heirs. Do you get that? I never understood that phrase. I believe it. I'm a joint heir with the Son of God. I'm His brother. Because God is our Father. You say those words, what does that mean? We're going to find out one day, and it's going to blow our minds. I can tell you that. And Jesus, we are God's sons, not by eternal generation like Jesus was. He's always been God's son. He's always going to be the favored son, the blessed son, and well, he should be. We are sons and daughters. We were adopted. Adoption is a beautiful thing. When a couple goes out and adopts a child who's not their own. You ever think of the movie Little Orphan Annie? There's this little orphan girl out in the street. She's starving. She's cold. She has no home. She's going nowhere. And all of a sudden, along comes Daddy Warbucks, billionaire, pities her, takes her in. Now she's living in a mansion, eating the best food there is, wearing the best clothes there is. And why is she there? Just because Daddy Warbucks had compassion on her. Now that's a myth. That's a fairy tale. This isn't. This is exactly, we've been adopted. Romans 8:15 on your sheet. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption as sons. And you bring that child home from the adoption agency, he becomes your son. He becomes your daughter. She becomes your daughter. In every sense of the word. Think of it. Romans 8:23. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the spirit grown inwardly as we eagerly await for adoption. God has walked into the world and said, I want you, and you. We're waiting for the day when God finally takes us home, into his family, into his house. The Apostle John, when he thought about this, said something incredible. It's on your sheet, 1 John 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so, just stop there. The Greek phrase for it says, see what kind of love, is a paraphrase. Literally in Greek it says, from what country is this? Meaning, where in the world did this come from? That we, emphasize we, should be God's children. And John says, and such we are. We. Can you imagine we? Who deserves that? You'll never deserve that. Never. John says that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us, that did not know him, notice. Beloved, we are God's children now. Because of Christ. Right now. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. And John says, who would have ever seen that coming? If God had merely, air quote, forgiven our sins, that would have been more mercy than we could ever imagine. God went way over the top. Some call this extravagant grace. God didn't have to save any one of us. But he saved billions of them. God didn't have to adopt us, bring us into his family. But he did. God so loved the world. Now think about it. In fact, that truth of us being adopted by God is so precious and so crucial that God didn't leave it up to us, because we forget all the time. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. We forget these things. So God did something very special. He sent the Holy Spirit with a special purpose to remind us that we are God's children. Again, the verse is on your sheet, Romans 8. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, what? That we are the children of God. God said to the Holy Spirit, make sure they don't forget that I love them. Make sure they don't forget that I'm their Father. You ever have those experiences when you're praising God or thinking about God or reading the Scriptures? Just, oh, Father, I love you. Do you ever have that? Oh, God, you are so good. Oh, God, thank you. Abba, Father. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you. Yeah, down here, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm worthless. But boy, Abba, the Spirit says, no, you are the Son of the Father. You call him Abba. Think of it. God didn't leave that up to us. I better write that down so I don't forget it. He put the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And one of his main purposes is to remind us. He says again in Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, because you are sons, get that, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our heart, saying what? Behave yourself. Well, he does that. But because you're sons, God said to the Spirit, get down there and tell them, I'm their Father. Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. You have a son and an heir through God. The Holy Spirit goes out of his way to remind you. If you're in Christ, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Relax. He loves you. That should call to mind all you know about fatherhood. What a father can be. God is my Father. In fact, this relationship is so special. Jesus forbids us to call any man on earth, in a spiritual sense, our father. Like the Catholics do. Matthew 23:9. Call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Fathers, don't you get jealous if your kids love someone else more than you? Jesus says, no one on earth is a father like your heavenly father. Not that you can't call your earthly father's father, but no one in the spirit, no spiritual father here on earth. God alone is your father. Now in closing, let me address this to any who may hear this who are not Christian. If you're not Christian, if you're not born again, God is not your father. You have no right to call God your father. You have no right to address him as such. You can't pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father. Because if you're not a Christian, he's not your father. He's not. As Jesus pointed out, your father is Satan. According to the words of Jesus, you are a child of wrath. And the fact that God provides for you and feeds you and cares you, may even answer some of your prayers and be good to you, doesn't make him your father. R.C. Sproul said, I love my kids when they sit around on the porch. He said, if the neighbor's kids come over and beg for some iced tea, I'll give it to them. Doesn't mean I'm going to adopt them. It's because I'm kind. It's because God is kind to you and God provides for you because God is good. Doesn't make him your father. If you're not in Christ, if you're not born again, if he isn't your Lord and Savior, God is not your father. He's your judge. And you will face him. You will see God the Father as your judge. But lastly, to those of you who are born again, and you know it, you're born again, covered by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Based on the sole authority of God's Word, and says this dozens of places, right now, God is your Father. You're his son. You're his daughter. I don't know what kind of father. Think of a good father, how much he loves his children. And imagine, God is my Father. How much does he love his children? You've been adopted into God's family. You've been bought by the blood of Christ. You're an adopted child of the Most High God. You will share in the same blessings as God's true Son, Jesus Christ, does. What does that even mean? We're joint heirs. We're going to share his glory. We're going to share his kingdom. We're going to share his rule. We're going to share his riches. Ephesians 2:7 says, throughout the heaven ages, God's going to just ravel up all these riches to us in kindness because of Christ. Think of it. A son or daughter of the Most High God. Adoption to God's family through the blood of Christ is a hard, cold fact. This is true. It's clearly taught in God's Word. And again, in closing, think of the best father you could possibly imagine, whether it was your father or someone else's father, who loved his kids, who adored his kids, who provided for them, who protected them, who cherished them, who taught them, who fed them, kept them safe. He even admonished them, even punished them when he had to, but he loved them dearly. He would lay his life down for them. Imagine that. Consider that. And all that is God is giving you an idea of what he's like. He created fatherhood that reminds you of what kind of father he is. John 14:23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Or another way of saying that, we're going to adopt him. If you love me, Jesus says, my Father loves you. And when my Father loves you, he's going to adopt you into his very house. You're going to live with me and my Father, Jesus says. John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you. Why? Because you have loved me and believed that I came from God. Jesus Christ is our adoption ticket. Faith in Christ, covered by the blood of Christ, gets you adopted into the family of God. And that family lasts forever. So I'll say in closing, to those of you who are fathers, happy Father's Day. And I mean that. But to those of you who are born again, happy Father's Day. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we say the words that we get out of your word. We know they're true, but oh Lord, how good you are. You are Father. You are eternal Father. You are everything good that we can possibly think a Father is. You are kind. You are generous. You supply all we need. You protect us. You guide us. You love us. You nurture us. You correct us. You punish us. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us through Christ the privilege of calling you Abba, Father. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son, who made this possible. Lord, we know we're not born this way. We don't deserve this. We're born under Satan's kingdom. He was our father, children of wrath. And, Lord, had you passed us by, We would deserve the condemnation we would get, but oh, Lord, in your grace and your mercy, you pulled us out of the slave market. You bought us through the blood of Christ. You made us your children. You brought us into your home. Oh, Lord, thank you. Help us, Lord, to understand this. Help us, Lord, to believe this, to think this through. Lord, these truths are precious. Lord, we long for eternity, Lord, and we'll unpack what it means to have a heavenly Father. But, oh, Lord, for now, help us to cheer us up. Help us, Lord, to encourage us. Help us, Lord, to help us get through our week and to draw strength from the fact that you love us as a father's love more than we can imagine. Lord, if there's any who hear this message who aren't saved, Lord, move in their hearts, Lord. Help them understand how wretched they are, Lord. You are not their father. You are their judge. Please, Lord, bring faith to their hearts. Open them up, Lord, to see you as a heavenly Father through Christ. But again, Lord, we thank you so much for this. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for the fathers you've given us on earth. And Lord, we thank you that you are our heavenly Father, and we long to find out all of what that means. Thank you for loving us in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.